sinless flesh. They had no sin. God breathed into the Adamos' nostrils the breath of life, and the Adamos became a living soul. So the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the Bible says the last Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. They were made with a choice. Adam and Eve were made free living souls and bodies of sinless flesh. They were made with a choice. It was a very simple choice. They could choose to obey God or not to obey God. God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't put any other prohibition on it. He said, don't eat of that tree. Very simple, straightforward choice. They made the wrong choice. They chose to obey Satan. Thus, they made themselves slaves to sin, subject to the will of Satan, and died toward God. This is the nature that they passed on to us. There is within me flowing some of the original remnants of Adam and Eve. My mother and my father were born in the same condition that I was born in, and so were your mothers and fathers. Some people never do want to admit this. They never will come to the point where they say, well, that may be true of other people, but it's not true of me, and it's true of all of us. They chose to obey Satan. Thus, they made themselves slaves to sin, subject to the will of Satan, and died toward God. When you came into this world, you were born a slave to sin. Thus, they made themselves slaves to sin. You were a slave to sin. You inherited it from them. Subject to the will of Satan. You were subject to the will of Satan. And you were born dead toward God. All of us inherit that nature from them when we experience physical conception. When you were first conceived in your mother's womb, that's what you were. That's how you were born. A slave to sin, under bondage to sin. We are born as slaves to sin under the bondage of sin. You can't help but sin. And no matter how hard you try, you're going to sin. You're going to get mad at somebody. You're going to have the wrong attitude about somebody. You're going to have the wrong feeling towards somebody. You are going to sin because that's what you are and that's what I am by nature and by birth. We're born as slaves to sin under the bondage of sin. We're not born understanding this truth. When you're little children and you come into the world, God hardly expects you to understand all that. And so until you can understand it, until God's Holy Spirit in testing and sensing your perceptory senses, until he comes to understand, this child can now decide one way or the other and has the mental capacity to do it. Until that happens, until you reach what is known as the age of accountability, you don't go to hell. But God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, so that when you did reach a certain age, you could come to understand this. You aren't born understanding you're a slave to sin. But when you get old enough, you can understand it. We are born as slaves to sin under the bondage of sin. We are not born understanding this truth. So, God gave his commandments, what the Bible calls the law, to us to reveal to us what we are from birth. So God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the commandments, he gave them to us to reveal to us what we are from birth. And when you get to the age where you can understand what you are, then God holds you accountable. And you're hell-bound unless you will acknowledge to yourself and to God what you are and seek God's only solution to the problem, the Savior that he sent to save you from what you are, Jesus Christ. We are born as lost, sinful souls, every one of us, trapped in bodies that are slaves to sin. Our body is always going to be a slave to sin. But God saves our sinful souls. But we were born totally depraved, lost sinful souls, trapped in bodies that are slaves to sin. Christ was made a quickening spirit to save our lost souls from hell. In 1 Corinthians, we are told in the 15th chapter that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the second man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. And he was made a quickening spirit to save our lost soul from hell that's trapped in that body that can't do anything else but sin. He conquered sin. He condemned sin. He put it to death in his flesh. He conquered sin, condemned it, and put it to death in his flesh. When he saves us by the new birth, he quickens our soul and spirit to the eternal life in him and forgives us for all sin in the flesh, past, present, and future. When Christ was crucified on the cross, he took my sins in his own body on the tree, and I was still future, and all my sins were future, and he was crucified and put sin to death in the flesh, all the way from Abel down to the last man who will ever trust in him for salvation. That's why Christ came. The saved man now has a choice after salvation. God restored you to a place where you could have a choice. You say, well, now if I choose the wrong way, I'll go to hell. You don't know what it means to be set free in Christ Jesus. Maybe you've never understood it. But if you're saved, I guarantee you, you can understand it. If you're not saved, you will never understand it. The saved man now has a choice after salvation. It is a moment-by-moment choice. Will I serve sin in my flesh or the Spirit of Christ who indwells me? It is a fight against sin in our flesh that ends at physical death, and it doesn't end until our flesh ceases to function. Many deeply religious men and women, and I mean they're deeply religious men and women, and I mean they're more faithful in church attendance than any of you are, or myself, who believe that Jesus is God's Son. They believe that Jesus is God's Son and he died on the cross for their sins. All of them? No. Most of them. But not all of them. They're deeply religious. They believe that Jesus is God's Son. But they do not believe that Jesus put away their sins in his flesh, and they are still trying to save themselves with Jesus thrown in as a catalyst to help them. Many deeply religious men and women who believe that Jesus is God's Son try to save themselves by the action of their flesh. Oh, they believe he's God's Son, but they believe they've got to do step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. You've got to do this, 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 and then you'll be okay. Maybe. Who believe that Jesus is God's Son try to save themselves by the actions of the flesh, and even if they believe they are saved, even if they believe they're saved, they continually try to keep the salvation. They try to keep what they've got, which they believe they have, by doing good works in the flesh. Those are deeply religious people. This may not tickle your fancy, and you may not like to hear it, but they're headed straight for hell. Let me show you what I mean. I hope you can understand what I'm presenting. If you can understand it, you know Christ is your Savior. If this sounds wrong to you and it sounds crazy, it's the most ridiculous thing you ever heard, you've never been set free. A true disciple is indwelt by the Spirit, and as the Spirit leads, will continue in the Spirit's Word, the Word of God, at least to the point of understanding how free he or she is in Christ. A true disciple is indwelt by the Spirit, and as the Spirit leads, will continue in the Spirit's Word, at least to the point of understanding how free he or she is in Christ. But if you can't understand it, there's a reason. It's because Christ is not in you. You've never been born again. A genuine disciple, a true disciple, will continue in the Word to learn just how free the Son has made him from a spiritual death for sin. I know I'm saved because I know who set me free, and I know how free I am. And I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. And there is no question in my mind that I'm going to heaven because Christ paid the full price. A false disciple. And these are very religious people. And they are transformed into angels of light. And they'll talk about the Ten Commandments. They'll talk about Jesus. They'll talk about the cross. They'll talk about all these things. and they talk and talk and talk and talk incessantly about Jesus. They put on an outward veneer, and they even deceive themselves. A false disciple is not indwelt by Jesus' Spirit, and consequently cannot understand the word of the Spirit. A false disciple is not indwelt by Jesus' Spirit, never been born again, and consequently cannot understand the word of the Spirit. He can't continue in the word because he can't understand it. He cannot continue in what he does not understand spiritually, so he continues to try to worship God in the flesh. He may come to church 3, 4, 5 times a week. He may be the greatest giver in the church. He may help thousands of elderly women across the street. He may be active in the Rotary Club, the Lions Club. He may be one of the most noted civic leaders in the community. He may achieve an element in the community where people look up to him as a man who truly knows God. And he's never been born again. You cannot worship God without his Spirit. You can counterfeit it. You can convince yourself that you're pleasing God. And you can deceive your own self. And you can deceive others. But you cannot worship God without his Spirit. And you cannot understand how free Christ has made you, because the Spirit wrote the truth in his word, and you cannot believe it in the flesh. It is impossible to worship in or walk in the Spirit unless the Spirit indwells you. I hope every one of you can understand this. I hope it isn't some great hodgepodge and you say, I don't really understand that. Because if you really don't understand it, something is seriously wrong with you. I'm not trying to scare you into anything, but I'm telling you, something is very seriously wrong with you. John 3, 6 and 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we're all people who have experienced a fleshly birth, and just like Cain tried to worship God in the flesh by bringing something from the ground that had been cursed, people are still trying to serve God in the flesh. They believe that Jesus is God's Son. They believe he came and suffered and bled on the cross. They believe all that. They even believe he died for their sins. Most of them, they say. But not all of them. And then they have the audacity, after they believe that they have been so-called, quote, saved, unquote, that they have to continue to work or they will be unsaved, just like the uncola, 7-Up. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, born from above. If you haven't received Christ, if you haven't realized how hopelessly lost you were, and come to Christ trusting him to save you and ask him to save you, you have never experienced a spiritual rebirth from above, and no matter how much you try to please God otherwise, you can't do anything but walk in the flesh, because in order to walk in the Spirit, you must have the Spirit. And people that walk in the Spirit have the Spirit. People that don't walk in the Spirit don't walk in the Spirit. God is a Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24. You can't worship God in spirit unless you have been born again and unless you have his Spirit in you. And you cannot understand the truth unless you've been born again. You cannot understand how free you are, no matter how much you use the word God, no matter how much you talk about Jesus Christ. You cannot worship God in spirit unless you have his Spirit. That is why you must be born again. And it has to be in truth, and if you don't have the Spirit, you can't understand the truth, and if you don't understand the truth, you'll never know how free you've been set, because it's the truth that sets you free. I want you to notice in John 8, 31, 37. You say, oh, we've heard this before. I hope this time you'll really listen. John 8, 31 through 37. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. You say, well, here's a bunch of saved Jews. They've been converted. They believe Jesus is the Messiah. Praise God, they're saved. That's a conclusion you made based on preconceived ideas that aren't in the Bible. Notice what he says next. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And the God-breathed word for indeed is aletheos. It means true disciples. There's only two kinds of disciples. True disciples go to heaven. False disciples go to hell. You say, well, now, you can be a child of God without being a disciple. No, when you've got the Spirit, your follower. You may not follow very well. You may not be 100% in your service, but you're a learner because you've got the word and you know the truth. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my true disciples. But you can't continue in the word unless you have the Spirit, because you cannot understand the word unless the Spirit of Christ is inside you teaching you, and you will never know how free you are. Notice what he says in verse 32. He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my true disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. First of all, you've got to be born again, because you can't worship God in spirit and in truth unless you are born again. And you can't understand God's word unless you've repented of your sins, exercised repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can understand the truth of God's word, and you can begin to see how free God has set you from the penalty and condemnation for sin, and how free you are now to make a choice as to whether to serve God or sin. I want you to notice the reaction of these very religious people. These are the same Jews, right back up there in verse 31, that believed on him. They were very religious. They went to synagogue all the time. God's name flowed off their lips continually. The Pharisees believed one day a Messiah would come. And these dudes right here said, well, they believed he was the Messiah. He said, well, we believe on you. But did they believe on him? They answered him. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him. We be Abraham's seed. Now notice what they said next. What is Abraham's seed? It means we are his children in the flesh. We are his direct descendants. Came out of his loins. Notice this next statement. And we're never in bondage. They didn't realize they were servants of sin. They didn't realize they were born under sin. They didn't realize they were slaves to sin. They didn't realize that sin dominated their lives. They had no concept of it whatsoever. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They couldn't understand. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. They said, what is this you're talking about? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? What in the world are you talking about, man? What do you mean, be made free? Why, we're never in bondage. We're never slaves to sin. They didn't need a Savior. What they wanted was a king to lead them to victory after victory. Watch Trinity Broadcast Network. Oh, they praise Christ as the king. They praise God as the king. They sing, they dance, they do everything in the sun, and sing songs of praise that would echo from here to Tucumcari, New Mexico. But they believe you can lose your salvation. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Oh, you Baptists believe once saved, always saved. You believe you can't lose your salvation. Why? If I believe that, I'd go out and do anything that I wanted to. No, they wouldn't if they believed that, because they would realize how gracious God was in forgiving you for what a great sinner you are. If they understood grace, they'd serve God a whole lot better. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, now he's going to teach them something. He's going to show them what their problem is. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They said, we were never in bondage. They were in bondage to sin. They were slaves to sin. In order to be saved, you've got to understand that. But they wouldn't continue in the word long enough to understand that Jesus sets you free from the condemnation of sin. And some people may be sitting here this morning. Maybe you've never understood that. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said, if you commit sin, you're a servant to sin. They were servants to sin. You're all servants to sin. I'm a servant to sin. But when Christ comes to dwell in us, we have a choice. He indwells us permanently and fights against sin in our flesh, and we are born again to fight a victorious fight against the flesh by the power of Christ's Son. It doesn't mean we can live above sin, but it means we can put up one whale of a fight. And a lot of people, after they get supposedly saved, like these very religious people, they actually believe they can live above sin. And they say, well, I don't sin much, but they are like magpies. They are like maggots that fill dead men's bodies, and they do not know Christ. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. He's making them a point. He said, yeah, you're Abraham's seed. But he said, you're servants of sin. And he said, you're living in a house that's full of sin. And it says, you're not going to live forever in that house. He said, but the Son abideth forever. He said, what you need is me. What you need is a spiritual rebirth. What you need is to be born again. That's the only way you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, since he lives forever, and since he puts away sin, and since he forgives sin, and since that's what the Messiah was sent for, but if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Look back up there at verse 31. Notice what I've got underlined in yellow and green. My disciples indeed, my true disciples, look down at verse 36, shall be free indeed. The reason I know that I'm a true disciple is because I know that Christ has set me free from the condemnation of God that would have sent me to hell. I know that he took my sins in his own body on the tree. I know he stood in a court of law and condemned sin because he lived above sin. And he had the right to condemn it. He had the right to put it to death. And he had the right to forever end its penalty on man because he paid the price as a man and shed his blood as a man. So yes, I'm a child of God. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm set free. I know I'll never be sent to hell for it. I know I cannot lose my salvation. Yes, that's what I believe. I've been set free. But many of these religious people, they do not have the Spirit. They think they have the Spirit, and they conjure up all sorts of emotional elements in their flesh that make their flesh stand hair on end, like the playing of the Star Spangled Banner, and they have a feeling inside that they suspect or believe is from God, but it is not from God, it is from the devil, or from their own flesh, or from a combination of both. He said, you say, well, how do you know these men weren't saved? Look at verse 37. Same bunch back up there in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Look at verse 37. I know you're Abraham's seed. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed in the flesh. He said, I know you don't think you're in bondage. You're not slaves to sin. He said, but ye seek to kill me. Now notice what he says next. Because my word hath no place in you. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They couldn't very well continue in the Word, and they could never know the truth because God's Word had no place in them. I can talk to some people who believe you can lose your salvation until I'm blue in the face, and it won't do one lick of good because they've never come to realize what great sinners they are, how they must have a Savior to escape the condemnation of hell, and they're going to go right on trying to please God in their own way until the day they die and end up in a devil's hell. Romans 8, 8 through 10. What was their problem? Romans 8, 8 through 10. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They were trying to please God in the flesh. They believed God was God. They believed he was the God of Israel. They believed he was all powerful. They believed in him as their God. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah that he sent. But they simply kept right on trying to please God the way they were, without acknowledging that they were total sinners in the flesh, no way they could ever possibly please God, and they had to have a Savior to save them from what they were. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. You can't walk in the Spirit unless the Spirit is in you. All they were flesh. And before I was saved, all I was flesh. And no matter how many elderly women I helped across the street, no matter how much money I gave to the church, no matter how many people in the community I helped, no matter how many people that were down and out I went around and gave money to, no matter how many people I ministered to and tried to help, no matter how many I did and no matter how long I did it, it was not acceptable to God. But to man, it certainly looked good. Verse 9, Romans 8, 8 through 10. But ye are not in the flesh. I'm not in the flesh. You say, well, right now that's something you're walking around in. Yeah, I'm in the flesh in this body. But I've got someone else living inside here now. I've got the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So then, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means that you have the Spirit. You say, well, I can have the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. That's true. You can walk in the flesh. But a person that doesn't have the Spirit can only walk in the flesh. And a child of God has a choice. Because he's been set free from the condemnation of God that would send him to hell. And the problem he has now are the sins in his flesh. And every moment of his life he has to make a choice every day. Am I going to walk in the Spirit of Christ? Or am I going to walk in the flesh? He has the choice. But a man who's never been born again, he has to try to serve God in the flesh. He cannot worship him in spirit because he doesn't have the Spirit. And he cannot worship him in truth because he can't understand the truth without the Spirit. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. When Christ came in me, it amounts to me being crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, and him now living in me. Christ put all my sins that would have sent me to hell, left me under the condemnation of God. He put them to death. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. As far as God is concerned, there is no sin I can commit in the flesh that would now separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus that would send me to hell. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ's righteousness. Before Christ came in me at the new birth and lived in me, I had no righteousness. But now I have the righteousness of Christ. I have the complete forgiveness of sins because he condemned sin in the flesh and put it to death. I don't worry about hell. I just worry about serving God. Now, this principle is something that a lot of people get saved. They wander through life. They never understand, and it's really quite sad. Notice what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation. I just read Romans 8, 8 through 10. Now look at the first part of the chapter. Because Christ has put away sin in his flesh, notice what he says in Romans 8 and 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. After all that explanation that God's gone through, do you know what a lost person will tell you about this verse of Scripture? They'll say, oh, I know, but I tell you what, brother. If I walk in the Spirit, he said, I'm going to heaven. He said, if I walk after the Spirit, I'm going to heaven. But if I walk after the flesh, I'm going to hell. And they just completely disignore everything God's Spirit has been trying to tell them throughout the Word of God. The whole point is this. You've got to have the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you can't walk in the Spirit. All you can walk in is the flesh. And there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I can walk after the Spirit. A lost man can't, and yet he may be very religious. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I am not going to be separated from God and suffer a spiritual death, eternal separation from God, because of my sins. Christ has set me free. You say, well, he hasn't set me free. Then why won't you let him? Then why won't you just come trusting Jesus to save you from what you are while you still have time? Well, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not that he had sinful flesh, but he looked like a flesh and blood man. He was a flesh and blood man, but he had no sin. He looked like everybody else. God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He stood there innocent. There was sin in the courtroom. He had no sin. He had the right to condemn sin. He had the right to sentence sin. He sentenced it to death, and he took it in his own body and put it to death with his payment for our sins. He put away our sins. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why did God do this? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I walk after the Spirit. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, surely you sin. Yeah. Well, what happens when you sin? I'm walking after the flesh. Well, what happens then? If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I walk in the Spirit, confessing my sins daily of my sins in the flesh, and God forgives, and I go on. That's what Paul was talking about. That's what Christ is talking about. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ came to take away your sins, then you'll hear his word. You'll continue in it long enough to know that you were saved by grace through faith and not through anything that you could ever have done or ever would do in your own personal conduct and actions of the flesh. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present indicative act, hath everlasting life. I have it right now. You say, well, you can lose it. No, I can't lose it, because if you believe that, you're not free. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. If you believe, well, I know, I understand all that, and Jesus died for my sins, but you know, if I do this or I do that or I do this or do that, well, I'll come back out of the condemnation of God. No, 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 no. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death. Christ passed me from death to life because he put my sins to death in his flesh. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can't worship God without the Spirit. You can't learn the truth without the Spirit. And unless you've been born again, you won't even understand what the church is. And everything that I've taught all these years that you sat here and listened to, it doesn't mean a blinking thing to you. John 3:35-36. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The Son's got complete authority and power. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I have it right now. It's a present active indicative. It's a possession. I'll never lose it. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. If you don't believe that Jesus put away all your sins, if you won't trust him as your total salvation, if you won't just come trusting Jesus and nothing else you've ever done or ever could do, you'll never see life, comprehend it. You'll never understand what life is. And you'll be just like these Jews trying to worship God in the flesh. And all God ever wanted you to do was come out of hiding, admit you were a sinner, come to him, trust his mercy and grace, and let God save you by unmerited favor, by grace. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. The only reason that the wrath of God is abiding on lost people is because they will not admit that they are sinners, servants of sin, under the bondage of sin, and will not come to Christ, who paid the price and delivered them from that bondage and paid the price of blood on the slave block and bought them back from the devil, and they won't just trust Jesus alone. And I do. And that's why I have been set free, for the Son has set me free, and I am free indeed. 1 John 1:5-13. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. God gave us a book. It's called the Word of Truth. The Holy Spirit uses it to teach you what you are, who you are, and why you need a Savior. He teaches you your soul under sin. He teaches you you're a servant of sin, because no matter how hard you try, you're going to sin. You're going to have a bad thought. You're going to be selfish. You're going to do something self-centered. You can't help it. God knows it. God sent his Son, put it in a book so you could see what you were and come to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But these are written. Why was the word written? But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one come in the flesh, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It has to be through his name. It has to be by him, through him, totally him. You cannot trust in anything else to save you, or you're headed straight for hell. A lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people, it infuriates. Nevertheless, it is the truth. And this is the record. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I have his life in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live under the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know. He's told them, then said he to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my true disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that I have eternal life. You say, well, I'm not sure of it. Why not? Why aren't you sure of it? Why aren't you certain about it? Is it because you still think that there's something that you have done, will do, can do, or might do in the flesh that would separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Are you still holding on to something in your life that's going to make you end up in hell, that you believe that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God? Believe on his name. Thomas got to see it. You don't get to see it. And Jesus came and spake unto me, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4:12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to be saved by Christ and by Christ alone. He's the one who put away your sins in his flesh. He's the one who can set you free. And if you're still trying to set yourself free and you're still trying to live a life so you can be pleasing to God and go to heaven, you're headed straight for hell. But if you're living your life because you are saved, and because Christ did save you by grace, and because he is living in you, then you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. You need to be saved? Right where you're sitting, you can be saved. As we have a silent moment of prayer, if you want to be saved, you don't have to go to anyone except Jesus. You simply ask Jesus, believing in the power of his name, that all power in heaven and earth is given to him, and that he can save you. You ask him to save you, and he saves you. And he forgives you of your sins. And he passes you from death to life. And you have eternal life.